We are in the middle in the liturgical calendar of the great 50 days of Easter. Easter is not just one day. Easter is an ongoing liturgical celebration, and it's also an ongoing celebration in our lives. We call ourselves an Easter people, a people that follow Christ through his death and resurrection. And that resurrection that defeated the grave, that overturned death, the resurrection that allows us to never be separated from the love of God, that is what we continually celebrate over and over again in our lives. When we come to the end of the resurrection story in John's gospel, it ends in verse 18. We then come to these next verses. And in John's gospel, Jesus appears to the disciples on three occasions. And this is the first appearance. So over these next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at these three appearances that Jesus made among his disciples. And so we come to this first one, and it says they are huddled in a room. It says it was the evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples met were locked for fear of the Jews. So this sets up that scene post-resurrection. If you remember last week, we had Mary, right? And she was at the tomb of Jesus, and when she went and she looked in, Jesus was not there. And her response was that she thought they had stolen Jesus' body. And the disciples were also fearful, because in that moment, Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, it tells us, they see the linen wrappings laying there, and they go run off, right? But Mary is the one who sees what she thinks is a gardener, who's actually Jesus, right? Not to give a spoiler in the story. And Jesus says her name, and she recognizes him. And then she's told to go off and to tell. But at this point, the disciples have not met the risen Savior. They have not seen resurrected Jesus for themselves. And so they are in this locked room, hiding in fear. This last week, Emerson and I, one of the things we like to do is we like to walk, well, she likes to ride in her little car, down the hill at the parsonage to go to the mailbox to get the mail. This has become an evening activity for us. And I got the mail out of the mailbox, and I looked, and I got the most dreaded card that ever comes in the mail every 6 months, which says, "Cassie, it's time for your dentist appointment." Anyone else dread that card? Some of us, yeah, okay, I hate going to the dentist. I'd rather do anything else than go to the dentist. But as I'm thinking about this dentist appointment, I'm realizing that I'm probably going to eat something horrible for me, right, that morning, like a donut or a big cup of coffee full of sugar. And then I'm going to drive to the dentist, and I have a toothbrush and toothpaste that I keep hidden in my car, specifically for this moment, and I will probably brush my teeth in the parking lot and go in and hope the dental hygienist gives me a clean bill of dental health. And she will not. She will yell at me, because that one moment of quick brushing does not negate the 6 months of failing to floss, right? And she will, as she bends over my open mouth, she will have a mask on, right? And it is probably not a mask that will protect her from flying objects, but a mask that will protect her from my breath. Because even if we brush, the breath is still there. As we come to this story in the gospel, we hear that Jesus comes in, the doors are locked, but he appears anyway. He says, "Peace be with you." He shows them his hands and his side. And then it says he breathes on them. 3-day-old morning breath, right? Breathes on them. This gives them new life. It may be stinky, I don't know. But it's a different kind of breath that they have not experienced before, that they don't understand. How many of you know the story of Pentecost? You ever been around church when we've talked about Pentecost before? It's the coming of the Spirit, right, in Acts? Okay, so Acts, the story in that book, that's Luke's version of the Pentecost, okay? Acts is a sequel to Luke's gospel, same author. This is John's version of the Pentecost. This is how John says Jesus sends the Holy Spirit by breathing upon the disciples. This breath isn't something to be avoided. It is something that we should be breathing in too. But so often, I think we as the church put on our dental hygienist mask to keep the breath at bay. We lock ourselves in rooms huddled in fear, locking it to everything on the outside because we are scared. But the good news is Jesus comes in anyway, right? Jesus breathes anyway. No matter if we're holding our breath or hiding in the corner, Jesus is still there. But a little bit of what the disciples are doing is kind of an indictment on us. We like to lock ourselves in rooms. We like to lock ourselves in sanctuaries, in pretty buildings with big stained glass windows, and not always go out into the world and to do the work of Jesus. These three appearances that Jesus offers to us redefine the mission of the church. The disciples are people who follow Jesus, right? And they do a really good job of this. The disciples, they follow Jesus around all the time. And when Jesus tells them to do something, they try to do it and often fail, right? But in this moment, in the sending of the Spirit, they are called not just to be disciples, to not just to be followers, but to be apostles, to go out and to spread the good news. And this changes the very fundamental mission of what it means to be the church. We are not simply called to be disciples, something the church is really good at, but we're also called to be apostles, to go out into the world and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ instead of staying locked in a room. Now, it says that the reason that the disciples are locked in is because of fear, right? They're scared. What did they just witness? Hasn't been that many days, right? They just witnessed crucifixion. It was terrible. They had their last meal with Jesus on Thursday. Then they went out to the garden, and Jesus prayed so hard, it says his sweat was blood, right? He was full of anxiety. And then this armed guards come up, led by their friend Judas. So it's like they can't even trust themselves anymore. They come and arrest him, and they take him, and then he's sentenced to death for crimes he doesn't even commit. And he's beaten, and he's tortured, and he's forced to carry his cross, or Simon carries it, depending on which gospel you're reading. And they take him and they hang him. and he dies. And then they think his body's stolen. They are scared. The world we live in is not that scary, right? I don't know about you, but if I go and I tell somebody about Jesus, I am not fearful that I'm going to be falsely accused of a crime I didn't commit, thrown in prison, and then executed. That is not a fear I have. Anyone else? Not here, right? Not here where we live. But there are other types of fears, other types of legitimate fears, fears of rejection, fears of kind of looking like a weirdo. It's really easy for us to be disciples when we're with each other, but it's much harder to be apostles when we go out there. This is something that I've been convicted of as I've been reading John's gospel. It's really good to do my job when I'm doing my job, right? It's easy work. I introduce myself as the pastor. They know exactly what I'm going to say. They can either run the other direction or stand there and listen to me. But it's a lot harder when I'm not in that role. It's easy for us to sing hallelujahs and talk about the Bible on Sunday morning. It's a lot harder when we go out and we do our daily lives. Part of that's fear. And part of that's being uncomfortable. But Jesus breaks in. Jesus gives us a new mission. And that mission is to go out. When I first got to Broadway, I instantly became filled with joy because I recognized that this truly is a mission at the heart of this congregation. You guys like to go out and do stuff. So I feel like I'm preaching to the choir a little bit, right? You guys are good at this. But I would challenge you to say, how else can we continue to spread the gospel? Maybe you're not locking yourselves into this building, but maybe you're locking yourselves into things that are comfortable. Maybe we're locking ourselves into rooms because we like how familiar they are. And so maybe this story in John challenges us to go into new spaces. Maybe to tread into new places that we've never been before. Here in just a few minutes, it's 11:25, so in about 10 minutes, Craig is going to start presenting our town hall. Did you know it was Town Hall Sunday? Surprise! And we are going to be talking about our goals for this coming year. And I hope that they challenge us a little bit. I hope that they encourage us to step out a little bit into new places so that hopefully we can make new disciples and we can fulfill our calling to be apostles for Christ Jesus. So that we can go out and we can share the good news and we can bring peace to a hurting world. When Jesus comes in, he says it over and over and over again. Peace be with you. If you are worried or scared or anxious or full of fear, Jesus says, peace be with you. And so I hope when you leave today, you go out with the peace of Jesus Christ, knowing that Jesus is always with you. That Jesus is always reaching out his pierced hand to walk with you and to hold you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, on this second Sunday of Easter, we give you thanks for appearing to the disciples in that locked room. God, we ask that in this moment you would continue to call us out, that you would continue to show us how you are wanting us to work in the world. And God, we just seek your peace. We seek your peace today, tomorrow, and every day. And we just ask that we would know that you are there. God, we love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.